Last spring's tragedy at Colorado's Columbine High School triggered a shockwave felt in schools across the country. Media coverage of the shootings was inescapable for weeks, and anxiety rose among teachers, parents, and students. There was an unprecedented number of bomb scares, and some schools canceled classes based on nothing more than a rumor of potential violence.
I think almost every superintendent in the state at the end of the school year last year just took a deep breath and said, you know, thank God it's over. Nobody's been hurt. Nobody's been injured. There have been no real bombs anywhere, etc.
Chris Richardson is superintendent of the Osseo School District, the home to 22,000 students and 27 schools located in four northwest suburbs. One of the district's high schools was the target of a bomb scare last spring. Richardson says school safety is a real issue, but he thinks the level of the threat has been exaggerated by intense coverage of a few incidents. He says he hopes the summer vacation helped ease parents' concerns.
And really all I can say to them is, you know, we're doing everything we can with prevention. We're doing everything we can to be watchful and listening. And we're going to provide the safe environment we've always provided. But can we walk your child with an armed guard from room to room? No, we can't do that.
But every tragic incident chips away at the "it can't happen here" mentality. Osseo, like most Minnesota school districts, has a detailed plan for responding to emergencies. In the wake of Columbine, some schools began using realistic drills to fine-tune those plans. Bloomington Superintendent Gary Prest says his district conducted an exercise this summer with the Bloomington Police Department that simulated an armed intruder in a school. Prest says the district tries to keep most of its security measures invisible. He says the trained security personnel in Bloomington schools keep low profiles.
For our security are trained as greeters, welcomers, have good relationships with kids, so it's not a presence that you'd look at and say in a that you'd have maybe with uniform security, but rather the security that we have a presence, but it's more of a friendly presence.
Schools in Minneapolis take a similar approach, with greeters stationed at the front doors of every school. Unlike many large urban districts, Minneapolis and St. Paul do not have metal detectors at school entrances, although detector wands have been used on occasion in some schools. The state's largest district is stepping up security this year by requiring all high school and middle school students to wear photo identification badges around their necks or clipped to their pockets. Superintendent Carol Johnson says it's a reasonable response.
We obviously want our buildings to be welcoming places for people. We don't want our schools to be prisons. We want them to be places where the public can get access, where volunteers can come, where people who are in the community can help us do our jobs better. We want to make sure that they're safe.
But Johnson is also stressing the need for teachers to get to know their students better. The students who've turned guns on their classmates in Colorado and in other parts of the country have been described as outsiders. Johnson says that should be a lesson, that all students must feel like they belong.
What we've learned from Columbine and many of the other incidents that have occurred around the country is that when students don't feel a part of the community, when they don't feel that people in the community care about them or care about their well-being, they feel isolated, and we don't want any student or any family to feel isolated.
The Minneapolis School District launched an anonymous 24-hour-a-day tip line last year aimed at heading off violence and helping students in trouble. Organizers of the Save a Friend hotline say the service has already intervened in several potential problems. The state's top education official says school safety discussions should also examine the root causes of violence among youth. Christine Jacks, commissioner of the Department of Children, Families, and Learning, says educators and parents must ask tough questions about television, video games, and other influences on children's behavior.
We need to take a hard look at whether we're desensitizing children, and if we are, if there are particular children we're doing that to, or if we have children who are really depressed, we have to figure out what the cause is and try to come up with some solutions and do some preventative measures rather than just reacting.
Jax is also hoping the long summer vacation has ended the cycle of threats and fears that gripped schools last spring. Educators who couldn't wait for last year to end are now looking for a fresh start and calm atmosphere when they open the doors to students later this week. I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio.